It's a truth that we all recognise, isn't it, that words matter. We know the lie that is often repeated in the playground by adults to try and reassure children, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And it's simply not true. Words matter. Things people say to us or about us can have a long-lasting effect. It's why James goes to quite such lengths in his letter, which we were looking at as combined home groups this past summer, to warn against the power of the tongue. He talks about the fire that it can light, the impact that it can have, like a small rudder steering a huge ship. Words matter. And this psalm that we're looking at briefly tonight, Psalm 12, is all about words. Let's have a listen. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbour. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. Well, very briefly, once again, David is in fear for himself, once again, isn't he? As we've seen in many of the Psalms up to this point, hence you can tell that because of the way it begins. Help, Lord. His appeal for help which begins the psalm and then the desire for protection that finishes it in verse 7. But it seems that this time his focus is not so much on physical danger that he fears that he is in danger of, but on the impact of words and what is said. So verse 2, everyone lies. Then again, flattering lips speak with deception. Literally, the idea is with two hearts. That idea of knowing one truth and of saying something completely different. Verse 3 speaks of boastful tongues. And then the culmination comes in verse 4, doesn't it? The arrogance that assumes there is no one to answer to. No one who will call these people to account. That they are their own masters. Who is our master? We own our lips. They are sovereign. Well, what does this look like in practice? Perhaps particularly today. Well, I think there's a few ways in which we can see that working out, the misuse of words. So we live today in the world of a 24-hour news cycle, don't we? And the constant stream of information and words via the internet. And there's plenty of damage that can be done by a comment that everyone assumes that is true. So in terms of thinking about Christians, there's often a caricaturing of Christians, perhaps through weak or overly opinionated characters that appear in some kind of TV show or a soap opera, or through reporting that only gives one half of the story. Indeed, which stories are covered on the news and in what detail is an editorial decision, and sometimes that decision pushes a particular agenda and words create a picture around which may not be entirely true. And so the result can be that Christians end up with the label of bigot, not because they are, but because that's the impression that's given by the words around us. And in that kind of light, in that kind of situation that we have around us today, we need to be praying for organisations like the Evangelical Alliance, which speaks truth in the public arena, and which seeks to do so graciously as they engage with the media. But the reality is it's not just Christians who can end up on the wrong end of lies and deception that is put around by people around us. So the caricaturing of all Muslims as potential or likely extremists is equally wrong and full of deception. And we must be careful, therefore, as Christians, even as we disagree with Islam as a faith, not to perpetuate a lie about people who follow that faith. And their lies that, and these lies that bring destruction that David talks about here go further than just religion as well, even in our modern world. So notice who the Lord will single out for his concern in verse 5. He talks about the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy. Well, in a world where economic struggle, even in our country, is still very much a reality in the aftermath of the crash and economic difficulties, and in a country where the welfare state is wonderfully active, well, we need to beware the caricaturing of and condemnation of those who may be struggling to make ends meet in our country. Those who are without work, those who are making do on benefits. It's too easy to caricature and perpetuate a lie. And so words which present those in all such situations as lazy or as cheats or as sponging off the state are lies which we must not be part of as God's truthful people. We need to beware the conversations that we get involved in and the things that we say. See, our world is increasingly dominated by words, and not simply spoken words, but also the written word. So we're encouraged, aren't we, to post or to blog or to respond or to comment about everything and anything, from government policy to the contents of our breakfast and everything in between. We're encouraged to talk about it and to comment on it. So the question, therefore, is, do our words build up or do they knock down? Do they tell the whole truth graciously? Or do they tell a half-truth to make us look good? Does our contribution to a conversation lift it? Or does it sink it? How do we use our words? Because words matter. And we do need to realise that we will be called to account for all that we say. That this is a lie that these people think in verse 4, that we own our lips. Who is our master? We know there is a master to whom we will be called to account. But in the midst of a difficult world where lies are all around, David finds an anchor here on which he can depend. Verses 5 and 6. Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. Notice the contrast between the words of the world, lies, flattering, deceiving, boasting, and the words of the Lord here. Words that speak of justice and goodness, of the protection of the weak and the needy and the oppressed. See, unlike these words of the Lord are gracious and they are just and they are kind and they are trustworthy and they are dependable. See, unlike the untrustworthy lies of the world around, which flatter and deceive to win us over but do not speak truth, the words of the Lord here are flawless, are secure, are assured, are definite, are very foundational. See, if you remember what we were looking at in Psalm 11 last week, this psalm follows on very much. In Psalm 11 last week, you remember in verse 3, there was the desperate summary by some of these people who were speaking to David, where the foundations are being destroyed. What can the righteous do? People had the impression that the very foundations of right and wrong, of goodness and justice, were being destroyed by the evil around. Well, here in Psalm 12, the true foundation is revealed. What is really sure and secure, and it is God's words. God's words which speak of justice and goodness, which speak of the protection of the weak and the needy and the oppressed. That they are dependable, despite the situation around. And that's David's conclusion, isn't it? In verse 7, O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever and ever. God will keep his people safe. And David is confident of that, even though the situation has not changed. Nothing has altered from the beginning of the psalm to the end of it. In fact, that verse 8 is striking as a finish to this psalm, isn't it? The wicked freely strut about and when what is vile is honoured amongst men. And that's it. Verse 8 is a reiteration of what David said at the beginning of the psalm. Nothing has changed. On one level, there is no resolution in this psalm. The wicked continue to strut freely about. There has been no magic solution. It has not all been sorted out. Everything is not okay. But still David is confident. Still David is confident because God's word is sure. And he is trustworthy. So it may not yet be sorted out. But one day, there is a master to answer to. And we can be confident of that because God's word is sure. So in a world which so often seems to spread lies about who God is and what is really important, we are able to go back and know the words of the Lord are flawless. Like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. There is a firm foundation in God's words which speak truth at all times. Let's pray together. Father, we are aware of the significance of words. Father, we can all think of things people have said either to us or about us, some things which have built us up and on which we still continue to reflect with great joy, and other things that people have said which have brought us low and with which we still struggle. Father, we thank you for people you have placed in our lives who have encouraged us along the way. Thank you for those words of grace that they have spoken towards us. And Lord, we recognize too that where we still struggle with things that people have said to us which have been harmful, we ask, Lord, that we would be able to ignore those lies and hear the truth of your word towards us, that you love us and that you value us, that you bring us forgiveness and grace and mercy. And Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to be those who use our words not to deceive or to flatter, but to speak truth full of grace to those around. And we thank you above all for the sure and certain foundation that is your word, that your promise is certain and sure, that you will keep us safe, even though things may be difficult for the moment. You will keep us safe and you will lead us home. Thank you for the security of those words. Help us to know them more and to trust them more day by day, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.